This is an interview with Steffi Goodman, a midwife on leave of absence from Dr. Grossman's OBGYN practice of Durango, Colorado. This interview is being conducted on April 1st, 1997 at 11:30 a.m. at the Center of Southwest Studies. The interviewer is Elizabeth McPherson, representing the Center of Southwest Studies, Fort Lewis College, Durango, Colorado. Okay. Where and when were you born?
I was born in Chicago, Illinois. You know, my birthday?
Sure.
6/30/54.
Okay. Did your mother use a midwife for your delivery?
No.
Okay. Tell me about your parents, your family size, and family composition.
My family of origin, there were six of us, four children, two parents. I'm the oldest of four children. I have a brother 2 years younger than I am, and two sisters, one 7 years and one 11 years younger than I am. My father's deceased, and my mother is alive.
Okay.
Did you want more than that?
That's fine. Did you use a midwife at the birth of your own children?
Yes.
Okay. What kind of training or education do you have?
I received my undergraduate bachelor's degree from Colorado College in chemistry, and then I have I went to graduate school in chemistry for 1 year at Boulder. Decided I didn't want to be a PhD chemist, dropped out of that program and went on and obtained lots of other college education. Because I was a midwife at that time, and I just wanted courses that would support my role as a midwife, so I did a lot of sort of extraneous courses, and then I went to Yale University to obtain my nurse midwife degree and master's degree in nursing.
Okay, great. When and where, when were you first aware that you wanted to pursue midwifery as a career?
I guess my awareness of that, that's what you're asking, when I was aware of that desire, had to have been in about 1979. Is that what you're
talking about? That's fine, yeah. What prompted that? I mean, what brought about for you the awakening?
I think it was something, let me put it this way, babies have been an integral part of my life ever since I can remember. I've cared for babies. I put myself through undergraduate college with babysitting money that I earned as a kid, and I just think that I was so drawn to newborns and babies and small children in my life, and I was also, as a teenager, extremely interested in holistic health care, natural ways of living, alternative lifestyles, those kinds of things in the 70s, 60s and 70s. And I think that sort of naturally led me, that in combination with my fondness for babies and also an extreme or a strong interest in women's issues, women's healthcare issues, women's issues sort of politically, all that sort of combined to lead me towards an interest in midwifery. I felt that midwifery really offered women a little bit of all of those things, you know, something about holistic alternative lifestyles, empowerment choices that they could make in their lives and be responsible for, a soft, gentle way of greeting a newborn into the world, and so on and so forth.
Sure, great. So you were the eldest in your family?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that had anything to do, and also your interest in chemistry and the sciences, did that at all direct
my
your decision?
My interest in chemistry was sort of stemmed from my interest in holistic healthcare, interestingly enough. It was sort of the opposite. I had developed this interest in holistic health care as a teenager in high school, at the end of my high school years, and pursued that through a lot of reading and worked with a nutritionist, and that sort of led me to chemistry in college, wanting to understand the micro world, you know, biology, chemistry, that kind of thing is what I focused on in college, because I wanted to have a really strong knowledge base in that area for when I did develop the rest of my career in whatever I chose, knowing it would be something that had to do with sort of holistic lifestyles. And so,
great. Okay, what was your first experience with midwifery like?
My first experience, you mean the first birth I attended?
Sure.
Is that what you
sure.
mean? Well, aside from my own, which was wonderful, I remember the very first birth I attended, and it was intense. I was apprenticing to be a home birth midwife, and this was probably nearly 18 years ago.
Oh.
And I was apprenticing with two other midwives who were pretty brand new at midwifery themselves. We were doing class, we were sort of doing a discipline class together and studying, and then doing the clinical portion just through clients that wanted home births with our group. And I remember, first of all, following the two midwives that I was apprenticing with, following their car from our sort of where we were to the client's house. And midwives, when you get a call to come to a birth, especially a home birth, and especially someone who's had more than one baby, you sort of hurry yourself over there. So I had a really hard time in the dark and in the traffic of a, not a very huge city, but a small city, following these two women in this car. And so my first thing about going to my first home birth was, first of all, the initiation of how to drive like a midwife, which was crazy. And then secondly, I walked in the house, the woman's house, and I think this was her, well, she had many children, and maybe her fourth or fifth baby. And this was back in the days when we had the Asian flu or Hong Kong flu or something, and she just got that, so she was extremely ill. When you walked into the house, you knew she was ill. You could just tell how ill she was, and I thought, oh, we're going to transport this woman, because she looked so awful to me. And within 8 hours, not only did she have a newborn screaming in her arms, but she was well. So the labor sort of worked the flu through her body because of how her metabolism changed during labor. It was a great experience.
Wow, great.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so why were you initially interested in midwifery? We already talked about that, just from your scientific background and your being the eldest and maybe being in a caretaker role for your siblings, and just all of that combined was really what spurred your interest in midwifery? Was there anyone, any extra person outside that interested you in it? Did you have a role model that you were looking up to? Or
I guess I just would have to reiterate just that when I was young, I had these interests. No, I didn't really have a role model. I didn't know any midwives other than the two that I finally apprenticed with.
Okay.
But my interests really stemmed from my interest in alternative health care, alternative lifestyles. That's what led to my interest in my undergraduate education and scientific background, but it really stemmed from my interest in an alternative way of living and thinking about things, my strong beliefs in how women's issues, all of those things are what really led me to becoming a midwife, I think. I think it was just something I was probably always destined to be since I was small, and, you know, as far back as I can remember, babies were sort of a big part of my life.
Okay, great. How many births have you attended? Can you count them? Have there been just tons?
It's been thousands. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. So where do you deliver most of your clients' babies? Is it mostly home or is it mostly hospital?
For the first 10 years of my life as a midwife, I was a home birth midwife and attended women mostly at home. Occasionally we would go to the hospital, and I would labor provide labor support rather than be the primary provider in the hospital. I then went to school to become a certified nurse midwife so that I could provide services to more women in a variety of settings, and that's when I went to Yale. And then now my practice is really limited. Well, right now I'm on a leave of absence, but prior to the last 2 months, my practice has been limited to hospital births.
I see. So how do the two differ? I mean,
oh, they're amazingly
vastly different.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, which do you prefer?
Which do I prefer? You know, to me, the setting where the birth occurs isn't as important as, I guess, what the parents want for themselves and their baby. It's important to me that the setting be safe, whether it's at home or in the hospital. And I can honestly say there are times when the home's not safe, and I can honestly say there are times when the hospital's not safe. And so I really, I would prefer it to be where the parents want it to be and also where it was safe for mother and baby.
Okay. What do you mean by the home's not safe? Just the birth would be difficult and that you'd need extra support, or what did you mean?
It may be geographical, geographics that makes the home not safe, too far to transport. Okay. It may be environmental. It may be that there's not adequate facilities, no running water or bathroom facilities. It may be that the woman herself has a history that suggests she should be somewhere other than home, even though she lives two blocks from the hospital.
Okay.
There's a variety of things that would make me think that the hospital might not be, or the home might not be a safe setting.
Right. Okay. What type of person is most likely to come to a midwife?
Well, in my home birth practice, it was definitely related to women who were interested in this sort of alternative lifestyle or wanted to be more in control, take responsibility for their decisions, not be controlled by some other healthcare system that insisted they do something one way or another way. Sometimes it was people who were financially, they didn't have insurance, they didn't have any way to pay for the expense of a hospital birth, and so they chose a home birth with a midwife. Sometimes it was, that was mostly it. It was mostly people, though, who really, a lot of times it was religious, religious reasons for choosing a home birth with a midwife. But I would say mostly just people who wanted to have a partnership in decision-making for their care. In the hospital setting, it's a bit different. You still have all of the others. You still have people who have that sort of feeling that they want to be in control, or they want to have more of a say in what happens with them in their birth. People who see birth as a thing where they're well, not ill, and they want to be treated well and not ill. So there's those people. There's people still who feel that midwifery is cheaper than physicians, and they, because again of financial situation, they want to go that route. There's people who, for religious reasons, in the hospital. So all those reasons still exist, but in the hospital, you also have people who really don't know the difference and choose a midwife because she's a female and figure that this is a female. They feel much more comfortable having a female in attendance rather than a male.
Sure.
There's people who think they want to choose a midwife in the hospital because that's what their friends did. And, it's not as, I would say, you have a broader population of women you serve in the hospital setting than you do in the home. Of course, home births are about 2% of the population. That number hasn't changed since I started in midwifery. It's not like it's a growing population, so you're talking about a very small percentage of people anyway.
Definitely. Okay. How about racially? Do you see more ethnic groups would come to a midwife? I mean, I know you spoke about religious aspects, and I had pretty much figured that would be true, but racially, do you see more?
Well, I worked in Shiprock and Navajo populations, and they much prefer a woman. It's a real strong part of their culture to want to be attended by a woman in birth. And, in fact, it's not very common to have a man present at all during birth, and that's true for Latin cultures as well. I have a lot of clients who are Latin, Hispanic, and they feel very strongly oftentimes about having a woman. The midwife part of that isn't as clear to me. In Mexico, for example, a partera is not someone you're proud to have attend you in at birth. That's a home birth midwife, essentially, but she has no, I mean, a lot of times it's sort of this dirty type of feeling that's associated with it, so you're not really proud to say you had a midwife if you are from Mexico. So it's kind of hard. We don't really know what to call ourselves, certified nurse midwives who are trained through university programs and part of the medical community, and you know, there's really no name for us in Mexico. Mm-hmm. They want an obstetrician because that represents to them a whole different thing than what their partera represents oftentimes. When I went to school at Yale, I worked in the Bronx, North Central Bronx City Hospital, and that's a melting pot of culture. And it's amazing. We had people from the West Indies, from Africa, from the inner city, just from Cuba, from Puerto Rico, Haiti, all those places. And it was staffed by midwives. There wasn't really a choice. Women who went to that hospital mm-hmm. were attended by midwives, but that's what they wanted. In fact, a lot of those women would come from different other barrios in the city to NCB Hospital just to be attended by midwives, since they knew that's where they got such good care.
Wow. Okay. Great. So, what is the level of quality of healthcare involved as opposed to a hospital? To the traditional doctor? Would you say that it's higher quality of healthcare, or would you say? I mean, I know, like sometimes when you say midwife, people will say, "Oh, you know, that's not as high of quality of healthcare."
I think that stems from ignorance, not understanding how midwives in this there's different kinds of midwives in this country. There's traditional midwives without any education mm-hmm. or training. You know, the sort of granny midwife, that kind of thing. That's sort of the equivalent of the partera in Mexico, where people aren't really, they don't think of that as a high quality of care, even though it probably is
sure.
or was, since they don't really exist anymore. Then there's the home birth midwife, the direct, let's see, what do I want to call her? Just maybe the lay midwife that was born out of the 70s like I was. When women were going back to a home birth sort of mentality, didn't want to be, I mean, you have to realize where birth was in the 50s and 60s and 70s in the hospitals, where it was, women were constantly assaulted and they didn't have any way to be empowered or have any say in the matter. I mean, it was a tough time for women giving birth. And finally, through this sort of big swing, it's come back a little bit now to where that's more possible. But there's the traditional lay midwife who, like myself, was trained through an apprenticeship or went to a few clinics in the country where she could get a lot of experience, et cetera, like stuff like that. But and then there's direct entry midwives. Those are midwives that are home birth midwives, but they go to an accredited program. There's like one or two of those in the country. They're not a very big...
And where are those?
One's in Seattle, Seattle Midwifery School. One, I believe, is in Texas, and that's all I really know of.
Oh, wow.
Arizona used to have one, but there's not a big calling for that because mm-hmm. a lot of midwives already received their training like I did through... Mm-hmm. Apprenticeship and don't want to go and spend money to already do what they know how
sure.
to do. And then there's problems with that because every state is different. Washington State I mean, Seattle Midwifery School exists because Washington State has very liberal midwifery laws. And if you go through that program, you can be a home birth midwife. And so they know they've got quality, trained midwives that are licensed and legal to practice. But not every state in this country is that conscious and, I don't know, informed about what they should be doing for midwifery care. The state of New Mexico, the state of Colorado, have laws that license midwives. They don't really require any major education and training, although they have some, they do stipulate some things. So you have licensed midwives without any direct entry education per se, although they got it somewhere. And then you have certified nurse midwives who are nurses, get master's degrees in nursing. And then they're certified by a national organization. They're part of the medical profession, and they're sort of the accepted form of midwifery in this country, I guess, because they're part of the medical model.
Right.
So that's a lot of when people hear, I have a midwife, and they think these backward mm-hmm. or old-fashioned thoughts, they're not really aware of what certified nurse midwives are and what they, right. how they obtain their training and education and how they're really part of an obstetrical team. They're not just off doing their own thing usually.
Sure.
But your original question, I had a different answer for. What was that?
I think I had just asked you what the level of quality of healthcare
All right.
was.
And I think that really speaks to, of course, since I'm a midwife, I could tell you sort of subjectively why I think the quality is better with midwifery care. But I think objectively the data is there, and I think that's the thing that we want to focus on because it really has to do with numbers. And when you look at numbers like outcomes, for example, mm-hmm. midwives have a lot better outcomes than any other healthcare provider in obstetrics. You would expect obstetricians perhaps not to have such great outcomes because they're, of course, taking care of a much higher mm-hmm. risk population. But if you even subtract that out, midwives tend to have a lot lower C-section rates, mm-hmm. a lot better, a lot higher birth rate babies, fewer low birth weight babies. They have a lot fewer preterm deliveries. They have better attendance at prenatal visits. They have fewer just bad outcomes, you know, lower infant mortality rate. The countries, you know, another good place to get these numbers from is the countries that have the lowest infant mortality rates are Japan and Holland and Sweden and Switzerland and all those countries, Norway, and all those countries vast majority of women are attended by midwives. So if you look at those numbers and you say, well, what's different? In the United States, where we have maybe 4-5% of births attended by midwives in this country, we are way, way low on the list of infant mortality rate. We have a really high infant mortality rate considering the technology, the wealth,
right.
and what we have, we're so far down. But I think if we looked at what's different about those countries that have such a low infant mortality rate, the number one thing is the use of midwives. And the World Health Organization is out talking about that. Midwives tend to support the normal process, the physiologic process, instead of interfering with the process. And I think that affects how our outcomes are so much better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my hospital here at Mercy, we had a C-section rate before I came of probably 25-30%. When I came, it went immediately down in the first year to 18%. That's just because I came. One
wow.
midwife dropped the C-section rate so low. And my C-section rate is 4-7%.
Mm-hmm.
Depends on who I'm working with, if they're, you know, the other midwife can. But my C-section rate alone is about 4-5%.
Wow.
And so midwives tend to really, have the fewest infants admitted to the NICU or the intensive care unit. Just a lot better outcomes, I would say.
Great. So how would a midwife feel about induced labor or epidurals or episiotomies? Would it be much less likely to occur?
In general, I hesitate to speak for how a midwife might feel because midwives will vary in how they feel about that. There are some midwives who practice using routine epidurals, routine episiotomies, routine induction of labor, just like a physician might.
Right. How about for yourself?
I'm at the other opposite end of the spectrum where I think there's a time and a place for all of those things. I think there's a time and a place for an epidural, a time and a place to induce labor, a time and a place for an episiotomy, but unless they're medically indicated or necessary, those kinds of interventions have such dire consequences associated with them as well that I feel that you have to want the benefit of using an epidural or the benefit of inducing a woman's labor to outweigh the risks of doing so. And right. as long as the benefits of inducing labor outweigh the risks, I'm happy to do it. But if they don't, then I'm going to try to talk a woman out of that because there's, like I said, too many dire consequences for her and her baby that I think aren't, that you know, lead to poor outcomes.
Really? So is it pretty much standard procedure with the hospital birth with a doctor that you would have those things, though? Is that correct?
It depends, again, where you are. A lot of hospitals in this country, it's very standard procedure to have a totally medically managed birth where there's epidurals and episiotomies and forceps and medications and so on. But in our hospital here, because we're a small rural hospital and we don't have in-house anesthesia, we don't have, we have anesthesia in-house, but it's not there 24 hours a day.
Okay.
And they're pretty much busy taking care of surgeries. Mm-hmm. So we don't have sort of in-house anesthesia for obstetrics. So women aren't routinely offered epidurals at our hospital at this point in time, although the obstetricians are fighting hard to make that more available, which I think is sort of not a good thing because I think they're asking, you know, on the one hand, they want to lower their C-section rate to what's accepted within this country, which they're not going to do if they offer epidurals because epidurals are, it's well documented in the medical literature that epidurals, induction of labor, are two things that are responsible for a higher C-section rate and complications for the mother and newborn. So I think it's a little bit, you know, it's better to have it our way where women, and in this community, I would say it varies between doctors whether or not they're going to have a real heavily sort of medical, lots of medical interventions at their birth or a pretty natural birth when attended by a physician. I think I've been told that since I've come, the episiotomy rate has gone way down among the physicians just because they're seeing another way of doing things that they don't always have to do an episiotomy, whereas before it was nearly 100%, maybe now it's, you know, 20 or 30% is what I'm told. I don't know because I'm not at those births. But so I think it really does depend on the physician. I think it really, more than anything, depends on the woman and what she wants.
Okay, great. How has the local community accepted your profession? Was it initially, did they were accepting, or were they kind of leery?
It's been, I've been swamped ever since I walked in the door.
Really?
Yeah, Durango was a town crying for a midwife. And I knew that. But do you need to?
Yeah, let me just stop.